Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. I'll be proclaiming God's word for this festival of Pentecost from the Gospel reading, John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as you sent your Holy Spirit to the people at Pentecost, send your Holy Spirit down to us this day as we hear your word. Fill us with all of the fruits of your Spirit and give us faith in your Son, our Lord Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, what do you make of the Holy Spirit? We know that we call out to God as our Father. We know that the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, died for our sins and rose again from the dead. But what about the Holy Spirit? What is his role? What is the place of the Spirit in our lives? There are many ways that one could answer that question and many things that one could say about the work of the Holy Spirit. But today we want to focus in on what we learn from our text. This gospel reading is very short, just three verses, John chapter 7, verses 37, 38 and 39. And so for today, we'll learn three things, one for each verse, about the Spirit's work. First, his work in quenching the deep thirst of our soul. Second is the Spirit's work in flowing through us as a river. And third is his work as it depends on Jesus being glorified. So, number one, we begin with verse 37 and the first part of verse 38. Jesus, on the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink." So Jesus had come to Jerusalem for the Festival of Tabernacles, or the Festival of Booths, one of the three great pilgrim festivals of the year. And at this festival, the people remembered God's faithfulness to them in their journey through the wilderness, where they had lived in tents or tabernacles or booths. Now, according to the rabbis, there were some interesting rituals that happened at this festival involving water. One commentator writes this: "The worshippers at the Festival of Tabernacles looked expectantly to a future time when life-giving waters would flow from the temple and invigorate the land, just like water flowed for the ancestors from the rock in the wilderness." Now, it's in that context, this festival, that Jesus stands up and cries out loudly that this life-giving water would in fact flow from him. That to truly quench the deep thirst in the soul, a person needs to believe in him. Later on, we read that in all of this, he is speaking especially of the work of the Holy Spirit. Let's think a bit more about this picture of the thirsty coming to drink. There is in the human heart, isn't there, deep in the soul of every person, something like a thirst, a desire for satisfaction that we never seem to attain, a yearning for something more than we can find in this life. It's this deep thirst that makes the wealthy pursue more wealth, the powerful pursue more power, and the famous go after more fame. We have this deep thirst, and the Bible would tell us that at some level this is a desire for God. But because of our sinful and broken condition, these desires are disordered now. It's like we can't tune them in to the right frequency. And so we go looking in all sorts of places and to all sorts of people to try and quench this thirst deep within us, all the while finding that nothing truly satisfies. I wonder where you go, other than the Lord Jesus, to try and quench that inner thirst. Jesus calls you away from those things, to turn to Him, to come to Him, believe in Him. And as you do, He says, He will send His Holy Spirit to quench that inner thirst. Thinking about the work of the Spirit in this perhaps brings our minds to Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is, in other words, what the Spirit wants to work in you. And here's what we read there. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now just think about that list. Aren't those exactly the sorts of things that people are searching for as we try to quench that inner thirst of the soul? Well, come to Jesus and drink. Trust in Him and receive the gift of the Spirit, and let the Holy Spirit work these in you to quench that inner thirst. Next, let's look at the work of the Spirit as a river which flows through us. This is in verse 38. Jesus says, as the Scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. Now this He said about the Spirit. So the imagery here is still in the realm of water. But now it's not just a thirsty person getting a drink. It's about a mighty flowing river, or in fact multiple rivers or streams. It's in the plural. So there's a sense of an overflow here, an abundance. Now rivers are very important and significant to our life as human communities, aren't they? Everywhere you go in the world, you find the major cities built next to rivers. Even here in Adelaide, our city is where it is partly because of the great and mighty River Torrens. And for those who aren't from Adelaide, that's a bit of an inside joke. Look up the River Torrens and you'll get it. You see this sort of thing, though, in an even more dramatic way in a place like Egypt, where so much of the country is arid and dry and seemingly lifeless, but then when you come near the Nile, it's like life explodes. Villages, communities, towns, life, it's flourishing around the river. Now in the Old Testament, perhaps our minds go to places like Psalm 1. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. Now back in our text, notice that our translation says that this river of life-giving water, which we understand to be about the Holy Spirit and His work, that this is said to flow from the believer's heart. Now, of course, in the first place, the Spirit is given by Jesus. It flows from Him. But in this secondary sense, it can be said to flow from the believer out. And a part of this is that it's important we see that as Christian people, we don't possess the Spirit like an object. Instead, we continually receive the Spirit as we might step into the continual flow of a river. And the Spirit then flows in us and through us and out of us to others. Luther, in fact, emphasized this aspect of the text in one of his writings, where he says this: Jesus says streams of living water are to flow forth. The person who comes to me I shall equip. not only to be refreshed and satisfied and to quench his own thirst, but also to become a sturdy earthen vessel, endowed with the Holy Spirit and with gifts that enable him to give consolation and strength to many other people and to serve them as he was served by me. Think of our second reading today from 1 Corinthians 12, that each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Think back to some of the fruit of the Spirit, like love, kindness, generosity. These aren't only characteristics for our personal satisfaction, but they have this outward focus too. The river of the Spirit and his work flowing through us to others. And finally then we consider how the Spirit's work depends on Jesus being glorified. Verse 39. Now, Jesus said this about the Spirit which believers in him were to receive. For as yet, there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, that's a fairly dramatic thing to say, at least how it first sounds to our ears. And to avoid misunderstanding here, it's good for us to be clear that when we as Christians speak of the Holy Spirit, we are speaking of the third person of the Holy Trinity who is eternal, who has always been with the Father and the Son, and whose work we read about right through the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord. So Jesus is not saying that the Holy Spirit has never existed up until this point. What he is saying is that there is a profound sense in which the fullness of the Spirit's work comes with Jesus being glorified. But what does that mean? Well, it may sound strange at first, but Jesus makes it very clear in this gospel that he is glorified as he goes to his death, and as he rises again from death and ascends to the Father, but especially in his death on the cross. That is the time of his glorification. And it's interesting that when Jesus is on the cross, that themes from our text today show up there again. Do you remember that it says Jesus bowed his head and gave up his spirit? Or we could translate there, he handed over the Spirit. And when they pierced his side with a spear, we read, at once blood and water came out. Remember too what Jesus said about the Spirit elsewhere. That the Spirit, he will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And when the Holy Spirit comes powerfully in the book of Acts, this is what happens. The apostles are inspired to preach Christ and his death and resurrection. People come to faith in Jesus. They call on the name of the Lord and are saved. The Spirit's work is especially connected with Jesus being glorified with his death and resurrection for the salvation of the world. The Spirit takes all that Jesus did and applies it to us now. And all of this happens in the worship life of the church today. Remember that image of the Spirit's work as a life-giving river? We can think about that corporately in the life of the Christian community. That this river flows in and among us as we listen to Jesus' word, which he says is Spirit and life. This river flows in and among us as we are forgiven our sins, which, remember, Jesus told the apostles to do right after he breathed on them his Holy Spirit. And this river flows in and among us as we receive the body and blood of Jesus. Did you hear in that 1 Corinthians reading? We're all made to drink of the one Spirit. The Holy Spirit flows into the life of the church and brings to us all of the benefits of Jesus' death and resurrection. these blessings, they flow through and out of the church as the people of God love and serve and witness in the world today. So on this Pentecost, from our text, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. In quenching that inner thirst, in flowing in us and through us, in bringing us to Christ and Christ to us. If you've never come to him or have been away from him, there is an invitation here especially for you. Come to him. Come and drink. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and his work in your life. But for all of us, may we never stop coming to Jesus and receiving this life-giving flow of the Spirit's work in each and every one of us. And so we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.